Welcome to Remotely Possible, a podcast about the people shaping the future of work. My name's Adam Riggs, and I'm the CEO of Frameable, a software company that's improving distributed work for Microsoft Teams and Outlook users. We're always looking for leaders, technology innovators, and software partners who might be a good fit as a guest on the podcast. If you have a story to share about creating and maintaining a highly collaborative environment for either hybrid or fully remote teams, we'll share details at the end of each episode of this podcast so you'll know how to get in touch with us. And now, let's dive into our conversation about how real people are making the future of work more successful. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode. Today, my guest is Jason Povio. After being the COO for more than 4 years, Jason is the new CEO of Eagle Telemedicine, a company of about 150 people based in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and they provide technology-enabled inpatient and outpatient telemedicine. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Jason, tell our listeners about your company. I mentioned you have around 150 people. How long have you been about that size, and how many of those people are working fully remotely versus hybrid versus fully in person 5 days a week? If you could just work those into your answer, that would be a great intro.
Absolutely. So, you know, Eagle Telemedicine, we exist to provide access to care for underserved patients and communities across the country. We've grown into 17 different medical subspecialties over the last 5-6 years. And we've had an interesting journey and actually some evolutions. Interesting to note that, you know, as we started as an organization providing fully remote medical services, we actually always had an on-the-ground, in-the-office corporate presence. So it was a little bit of an interesting dynamic there where all of our actual services being performed were remote, but all of the back-end corporate office functions were 5 days a week, traditional in the office. And then, as we all know, sort of COVID took place and we went 100% remote and for quite a period of time and faced a lot of challenges in that season, if you will. And then as we kind of matured and came out of that season, we really settled into a really nice hybrid workforce environment where we have a mix of you know, people who come in still 5 days a week, many who are on like a 3-2 within the corporate office. And then we've actually hired and acquired really awesome talent across the country that's 100% remote. And so we've grown tremendously over the kind of the 4 or 5 years to the size we are today. I mean, we were probably 60% growth in actual headcount over that period of time. And today, roughly 30% of our workforce is 100% remote, some of which who may fly in from time to time, two, three trips a year maybe, to those that just stay 100% remote.
Yeah, so that's such a common growth story. Just in the last stretch of your growth, you've had to embrace and possibly wrestle with the challenges of remote team building, remote onboarding, remote talent management, and things like that. And it sounds like you're doing a great job. I was wondering, for the people who are remote, how many of them were hired to be fully remote, and how many of them, you know, just roughly, do you think you would have lost as an employee if you were not able to accommodate the remote configuration?
Great question. We have, you know, it's interesting. We have one department specifically that has about 26-27 employees, one of the larger departments, single departments, that the work itself across the industry made a shift to remote. So what I mean by that is it'd be very easy for people to seek other opportunities that would be fully remote. And so I have a high degree of confidence that we probably would have lost most of that team if we would have sort of reverted and required to come back 100%, you know, in the office. And another interesting fact is in our growth, we probably would have ran out of room for them. And so we would have maybe had to look at expanding actual physical footprint to accommodate kind of the growth in that team over that same period of time as well. And so the growth in that team, it's been an interesting mix. There's not a bias towards Atlanta, you know, with regards to finding talent. It's really just, you know, who is best suited for the actual role. And roughly 80% of the new hires within that department were hired remotely. So that, mm-hmm. you know, they look remote, they stay remote, and then just folded and brought into that team.
That makes sense. You know, we don't get to talk to people like you very often, in the sense that, you know, as the COO and CEO of your company over this 5-year period where you experienced this growth, and also during the COVID challenge, you must have an interesting take on managing your physical real estate footprint through all of that. So how are you thinking about your physical real estate footprint now and going forward? And how does that fit into your planning of your hybrid and remote talent?
We took advantage of, and I don't want to make that sound like it's in a sinister way, but we were able to take advantage of
opportunistic. You were opportunistic.
Yeah. Opportunistic of the things that were taking place from a real estate perspective, commercial real estate perspective, obviously during the COVID time period, and create a financially advantageous scenario for us with our physical footprint. And so we took the chance to expand our physical footprint with an eye towards 3 to 5 year growth, and not wanting to bump up against kind of the ceiling of that physical space in a shorter time period than that. And so we actually moved into a space that felt very large, like a kid wearing their dad's shirt. This is way too big kind of a thing, but we're going to grow into that. And so as we've hired, and the majority of folks have kind of been remote that we've hired, you know, we've not sort of filled up some of the seats that we've had, which is okay. Because again, we found ourselves in a good place from a footprint and cost per square footage situation. But we've also created an opportunity to continue to grow into the space. It's allowed us to maintain, like, for those that do come in on their physical days, those that travel in, we have really nice hoteling space. We have team collaboration spaces. We have breakout rooms. And so, I mean, so we've been able to sort of maintain some of those things that contribute to our overall productivity and team building aspects by maintaining a really nice balance of remote and present in presence or physical presence employees.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm really happy to hear that you were able to get yourself a good deal and have the flexibility, right? It sounds like you have the ability to bring people to Atlanta and not have that be a squeeze. But then also you sound very accommodating of the remote talent. I was wondering if we could talk for a few minutes about the hiring process. When you're hiring people who are going to be fully remote or hybrid, how do you, and then when you're onboarding them, like, how do you expose them to the culture of the company? How do you vet people when they're still candidates for fit if you are doing it completely remotely? I mean, I think it's a lot easier, frankly, to get a sense of a person if you have multiple in-person interviews, you know, you get a lot more of them. So when someone's remote, fully remote, or when they're hybrid and you start off the candidate search with remote interactions, like, how does that work for you so that you are able to have confidence that these people are going to be a good fit for the culture that you have?
Good question. So it takes a lot of work, a lot of discipline in a process. And so it does start with a process. You have to design a process. We have a process. We continue to refine it. You know, I think that's just part of our evolution and growth. But it starts with a pretty rigorous screening process, that whether you're, you know, somebody who is eligible to be physical presence or remote, you go through the same sort of screening process. And some of the pathways are a bit role dependent. There are multiple on-screen video required interviews, panel interviews. What we try to do to the best of our ability is really emulate some of the things you just said, but emulate what we would do if you were physically mm-hmm. present, right? And obviously, nobody can deny the fact that you're on screen, you're not sitting in front of me, but the fact that you have to be on camera does help with body language and yep. different things like that. And the fact yep. that we do like panel interviews means you have to sort of interact and and look in different directions. And you watch for all of those things and you see how people interact with each other, even in this remote sense. Role dependent, there may be a pathway during that process that you're then asked to come on site. And if that means we got to fly you in, that means we fly you in. But that's kind of role dependent. And then we have kind of there's always an ultimate hiring manager that's responsible for, you know, the final decision. But we operate almost by committee and with panels. And so there's a lot of discussion, the pros and cons. I mean, you know, hiring somebody is, I read this maybe a couple weeks ago, it's a pretty sacred process, right? Extending somebody an offer for employment and providing that value to somebody is important, and the process should be taken pretty seriously, and we do. And so it may seem a little bit laborious, but there's a purpose behind that, because we are trying to make sure that we're continuing to foster the culture that we have created in a positive way, and what we're going to add to that is important to us. So it's a really rigorous process, a lot of video. We talk to people during the screening process about that fact. And so you're trying to make sure that they're cognizant that they're, mm-hmm. you know, how do you display yourself? And sure, you know, we've had some people pop on screen that you just kind of have to wonder, you know, where they weren't maybe advised, Rocky.
Yeah.
And, you know, either their background or how they chose to sort of dress. I mean, the fact that you're being remotely interviewed, but on video, is not necessarily that permission to, you know, to be in jogging pants and
right.
in a sweatshirt with your background, you know, not being as professional as it probably could be. And so, yeah, we run into that, but that's part of the screening process, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So once people are hired and they're at the company, they're doing their work, and you have a whole, you know, big team of people, some of whom are on any given day going to be guaranteed remote and some are going to be physically together. You must have a few things that you wish, even now in 2024, with the technology that's out there, you must have a few things that you wish were just a little bit better or a little bit easier when it comes to distributed and physically co-located colleagues work together. Do you have anything in top of mind, one or two things that still stick out for you on a day or a week you're almost guaranteed to come face to face with some particular piece of friction or frustration that you just don't understand why it's still around?
Yeah, I mean, so when we hire somebody, we extend an offer to them, and let's just take the path of they're fully remote. I mean, that's when the work really starts to take place of okay, how do we employee engagement, right? How do we make sure that they are folded in this fully remote type of environment? Or, you know, you can say even somebody who's going to be like a 3-2 hybrid, there's 2 days they're not here. So on those two yep. days, how do we make sure they don't feel like they're quote unquote missing out, or they're yep. not part of the team, kind of a thing. And so that's a lot of work takes place in that regard. And these are the lessons we learned in COVID, which was, you know, when the world gets flipped upside down, you just got to kind of figure it out. And we're still really on a journey to figure some things out. Tools, there's still an evolution, I think, to be made in the tool set to promote collaboration or better collaboration or remote presence with teams. And so we've got Microsoft Teams, Zoom, Google Meets, you got all, you know, WebEx, you got all these tools that haven't really evolved much, in my opinion, over the years. You know, it's just basic video, basic audio, right? Mm-hmm. And there are, I think, opportunities to kind of refine these solutions to help create better collaboration for fully remote employees. I mean, examples, one of the things we do here several times a year is, you know, we try to have fun. And so we take days where we're going to just celebrate each other, celebrate the company. And we like to do a lot of trivia here. I mean, we just do. We call him a guru. He probably should be on Jeopardy. He just seems to know a lot about a lot. And so he helps to facilitate it. And, you know, I want remote employees to participate in that. It might be a remote day. I don't want somebody to feel like they got to come into the office for that. That, hey, I can plug in from the home and still be just as present and engaged. And so, you know, we did a lot of planning ahead of the very first one we ever did. And unfortunately, it was a bit of a disaster. the silver lining in that is that in that disaster, we learned all of the things, we learned from all of the things that didn't go well. It didn't come across well or feel good for remote employees. And
yep.
And then we changed those. And so then we did the next time and learned a little bit more and a little bit more. And we just kept doing it. But, you know, simple things like trying to have remote employees be on a team on the same, like, Teams session or Zoom session doesn't work. Right. You actually have to parse them out into separate sort of sessions because, you know, when you're, again, Privia and you're divided up into teams and it's competitive and stuff, well, you don't want the sharing of answers. And then even when you think in the physical present sense, you're like, all right, this team's over here. This team's 20 feet over there. Well, it's remarkable what these speakers can pick up, but these microphones can pick up. So you start hearing all this crosstalk across teams and stuff. And so it becomes a bit chaotic. And then the remote employees, you know, didn't have a sense of like the team. I'm physically present. I can look around the office and see the teams and see people laughing. The people who are remote can only see the face in front of them or the four faces that were in front of them on their team. They don't get that sense. And so, can we plant a camera in a corner up on a TV or something that presents a broad room view? So that's where like tools like the OWL, it's a device that goes in these conference. I mean, it's really cool. It provides a 360 sort of view of the space that you're in. And so again, we've learned from those types of things to really add to that experience that helped to feed into collaboration and engagement.
You mentioned in these trivia sessions, which are like these team building opportunities that you create, which sound fantastic, by the way. And then in the hiring process, you made a point in both of those parts of the discussion here about how you had camera on sort of expectations, you know, because that is a part of the togetherness equation. I was just wondering, like, day to day, week to week, for internal calls, not calls with doctors and the institutions that you work with, but for internal calls, what percentage of the time would you guess cameras are on? Or how do you manage the expectation day to day in the regular workflow about whether or not cameras should be on when people are not physically together?
And I would recommend this, you need to find what works or what you believe is in the best interest of the organization and its employees and establish a policy around it. And then the hard part of any policy is accountability. Mm-hmm. But we here at Eagle, we establish a policy that cameras are essentially always on. There is acceptable exclusions to that. And we require kind of early or advanced notification. So if you're going to be in a meeting and you can't have your camera on for a reason or another, you simply can communicate that to your manager that, hey, today's meeting, I'm not going to be on camera. You don't have to, I don't need some long reasoning, but just, hey, I can't be on today. And that's okay.
Right. Could be private or, you know, it doesn't necessarily, the reason is not necessarily important. You're saying
just communicate the reality, but just understand the expectation is that you're visually, physically present because everybody wants to be able to see people and interact with people. And so we have a policy that cameras are always on with the exceptions of advanced exclusion from that, if you will. And in an effort to foster that and to make people feel more comfortable, you know, everyone's remote situation could be different and home offices, we get all of that. So we actually created a really cool background and deployed it so everyone can use the background that we're providing, so you don't have to be worried about what your home office might look like on any given day. And you can use that, and then we went so far as to even discuss dress code, which I mean that's not unusual, right? Every company has dress code, but one of the challenges with remote work is kind of an element of casualness. It had to kind of remind employees that, you know, when you're on internal calls, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to be client, partner facing, from at least kind of the waist up, we say, because that's what you see, we still need to maintain a very professional dress code. And so we established all those kind of early on. And did we go through coaching and re-coaching? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I'm happy to say 2024, we really don't have those those challenges. Now, bring on a new employee, you got to obviously inform and coach and stuff like that, but we're in a really good place with that.
Got it. That's fantastic to hear. It sounds totally reasonable. You mentioned the background. I just wanted to go a little deeper on equipment that people use at home and your experience in terms of like suggesting a physical setup that is going to be the most productive. Like, do you leave that to the new employee, let's say, and or do you make suggestions, or are they not just suggestions? Is it a firm list of like, this is how we want you to set up your home office? And feel free to share a little bit about your own home setup if you think that's illustrative.
I'm an engineer by background and, you know, maybe even DNA. If you talk to my wife, she'd probably tell you that. So my home setup is, I might be a little geeked out. I've got several monitors and microphones and it's maybe a little over the top, but from a corporate perspective, that was also important for us to define and not necessarily leave it to chance and make sure that we have control around kind of that hardware setup to ensure that the experience is pretty consistent and ideal. And so we provide our employees not only with a role specific laptop, right? Because not every role is created equal. Some need more horsepower in their laptop than others and so on and so forth. But we also provide the appropriate monitors. And so if that's somebody that needs to have two monitors for their role, they're going to receive two monitors.
Yep.
And all of those things to help facilitate kind of an ideal environment. And so we manage that. And our most recent hire that started in early February, about a week before she started, she called me just to say, hey, I received everything in the mail. It's like Christmas again, opening boxes and here's monitors and here's, you know, docking station, which interestingly enough is I'm old enough that it's hard for me to call these things docking stations. They look like just little pucks with ports in them and you don't actually dock the laptop anymore.
Right. And just a little like USB-C hub. Basically, that's, is all you need.
That's pretty much all it is. And so, we take care of all of that. And then, you know, we're very open to, and we've changed over the years where a particular employee and, you know, say, hey, this is creating a challenge for me, or this is always not as efficient or ideal. And so we've made changes to those. And then if we make it, we try not to make any changes for one particular individual per se, unless there's kind of a handicap, you know, situation to that requires it, right? Like disability or something. We accommodate all of that, but we try to look at it from like zoom out and say, is this a role thing? And then we'll make a change and apply it across the entire role because we want to try to maintain some consistency and standardization in that space.
Well, Jason, we probably have time for one more question here. So let's zoom out and let's have you advise based on your experience here. It's been so interesting to hear about the real estate, managing your real estate commitment and your flexibility on the hiring and sort of on managing your workforce. Now, if we zoom out and you're speaking to a room of other CEOs of companies that are between 100 and 1,000 people, like how would you advise them to think about the next 5 years when it comes to the importance of distributed work and your talent pool? So in other words, it doesn't sound like you believe that as soon as the next recession comes, whenever that is, everyone's going back to 5 days a week. But how would you advise other CEOs who are struggling with all of these same issues about how to think about the opportunities, the unique opportunities and challenges of this moment and this across the board higher expectation for flexibility from the from the employees?
Absolutely. Okay. It's really important for any leader within an organization to zoom out effectively and really assess the roles within your organization and define which roles require an in-presence office, you know, sort of presence. And what does that look like? 1 week a month, 3 days a week, because that's going to then lead to what talent pool and level of remote work are you open to for that role? And do that across your organization. And you're going to find, like we have, that there are real opportunities to acquire talent in roles that can really be quite effective from a 100% remote perspective. And you're going to find that there are some that you need to have some level of hybrid and more physical presence. It's just going to be role dependent, industry dependent. Each leader needs to kind of do that assessment, right? But I think it starts with that because that kind of helps define or helps paint a picture of what your physical presence needs will be, where you see growth in those departments. And so if you define a department that has a higher ratio of FTE to workload, or maybe it's, let's say, lower ratio, meaning you, for each smaller increment in business or growth, you need to hire more people in that role. Well, if that's a fully remote role, you want to know that up front, because mm-hmm. that's going to help you understand what your physical footprint might need to be in 3 to 5 years. And so I've actually talked to some leaders about this in the past, is that you need to really start with that assessment, because if you're just sort of going at it piece by piece and saying, well, we could get away with, that's fine, well, then you don't really have a well-defined plan, and you're going to find yourself potentially in a physical space crunch or with more remote staff than you need. And I say you need, but maybe it's creating challenges for you in other elements because of a very important team collaborative nature of the work that they do that they're not getting because they are fully remote. And again, it's really just role specific in my mind, but you got to keep an eye towards that and understanding how that hybrid mix you're creating contributes to the, you know, zooming way out, the larger culture, corporate culture, in regards to overall employee engagement, you know, motivation and things of that nature. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, yeah, in today's world, it's an unfortunate reality, but cybersecurity and security concerns, as you're thinking about which roles and which elements of your organization could be fully remote, what is their access to data and systems?
Sure.
Because if you don't have a really strong foundation there, you could find yourself in a bad place quickly. Yep. And in today's world where cyber attackers are kind of running rampant, that's just not a place you want to find yourself. It's an unintended consequence that has, unfortunately, a high consequence, right? Because usually these ransoms aren't inexpensive.
Yeah.
To get yourself out of. So you got to keep an eye on that as well. And how you're protecting your own systems and your own data with positions that may be fully remote.
Well, Jason, it's been great to talk to you today. I feel it's very clear that the folks at Eagle Telemedicine are lucky to have such a thoughtful and reflective person at the helm. And I wish you the best of luck and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care.
I'm your host, Adam Riggs, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Remotely Possible, the podcast about distributed work and the people who make it possible. Remotely Possible is sponsored by Frameable, a software company with a mission of making virtual collaboration feel as easy as turning around and talking to each other. Learn more at frameable.com. To become a guest on an upcoming edition of Remotely Possible, head over to frameable.com/podcast and introduce yourself. If you know someone who'd be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, and include the hashtag #RemotelyPossible. If you enjoyed this conversation, please share it on your social networks and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and to our team. Want to know how Frameable Spaces helps Microsoft Teams and Outlook users collaborate more effectively? Visit our website, frameable.com, or follow us on social media. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.